You Have My Heart, okay? Written by Slowdead and read by Snowbab. Colin always knew that his mother would find out about him and Bradley sooner or later. She was his mother after all. And mothers, Colin knew, didn't only have that woman instinct going on. They also had this scary maternal instinct. Then there was also the fact that him and Bradley just couldn't seem to stop kissing, and his house was rather small. As he hears her short gasp and the soft thud of the laundry basket hitting his carpet bedroom floor, he can't help to think, however, that he wished this had been later rather than sooner. And that even though he knew this would come, he really isn't prepared, not in the least. "Boys, honestly!" she says. Colin looks from Bradley's wide eyes to his mother's worried ones, and he just knows this is not going to be pleasant. 10 minutes later, they're all gathered in the living room. Colin and Bradley press close together on the couch, and Colin's parents standing in front of them, looking down at them. Bradley had tried to make a joke earlier, but three of them had just stared at him in discomfort, and so for now, Bradley seems to be content with shutting up. Colin's mother is telling them something about honesty, and how we don't keep secrets in this family, young man. But Colin is too distracted by his own heartbeat, and the way Bradley is holding his hand to pay attention. At least his father's smiling. It can't be that bad, then. "We're happy for you, boys," his mother says softly, and she's finally smiling too. "I don't quite see what the problem is here," Colin tries. Colin's mother gives him a face. "Bradley spending the night every weekend is all fine and well if he's just your friend. But now..." "Mom! But we didn't allow Neil to have Susie over till they'd been together for a very long time. And it just wouldn't be fair to him." "We could also just not tell Neil," Colin reasons. He gets a face from his dad now. "You boys are only 16, and I know it might seem like you're old enough to be spending the night together, but let me assure you, it's not that simple." And honestly, Colin had been doing pretty fine considering the fact that his parents were lecturing him and his boyfriend about gay sex. He'd been doing fine until said boyfriend opened his mouth. "We haven't been..." And Bradley pulls that confused face. Colin knows all too well where he's thinking of a word, and will probably pick the wrong one. "Making love? No, we haven't even been preparing or anything." "That..." Colin's father starts, looking about half as scandalized and embarrassed as Colin is feeling. "Nice, Bradley, but let's just agree that everybody will be keeping to the house rules, okay? No more slumber parties." Colin just wants the ground to open up and swallow him whole. "Really, Bradley? Really?" Colin glares at Bradley as they get back up to his room for Bradley to get his stuff, because his mother seems to think that there's been enough excitement for one night and that Colin should go to bed early. "You really use the term making love and preparation while talking to my parents." Bradley makes a face. "What else should I have said?" Colin says immediately. "I don't know, you could have said sex, just like every other normal person would have. Or you could have just not said anything." Bradley looks at him like he can't even believe Colin would think he'd not say anything. Colin can't believe he thought that either. "Fine, sorry," Bradley says, and he sits down on Colin's bed, something strangely close to a pout on his face. Colin bites his lip and goes to sit next to Bradley. When Bradley's upset, he usually either gets whiny or clingy. In this moment, he chooses to be clingy and leans forward till his head is pressed into Colin's chest. Colin has no choice but to lean back and give Bradley more room to cuddle up with him. "What about Friday night Buffy marathons and the Sunday morning pancakes your father makes?" he mumbles into Colin's chest. "What about them?" he whines. "I love your mother, but..." He doesn't get further than that, though, and settles for making a high-pitched whining noise into Colin's chest again. Colin pecks his hand through Braddy's hair as Braddy continues to breathe into his shirt, making it damp and cling to his chest. Braddy has to get up eventually before he suffocates, but he doesn't look any less upset than he did a minute before. He just kisses the side of Colin's mouth before grabbing his bag and slowly moving out of the room. After that, nothing really changes at his home. Colin had thought that everybody would be a little more freaked out about seeing him with a boy. The knowledge that your kid is gay is probably still not the same as seeing him kiss another boy. He was wrong, though. Neil and Braddy still don't get along. Neil calls him Brad and tells him, "Only douchebags are called Braddy." Braddy, in return, calls Neil Neely, which, honestly, nobody even understands. Colin's mother still makes Braddy blueberry pies, even though Colin prefers cherry. She still smiles at them like she used to. Now, she just loudly announces herself every time she enters Colin's room. And, of course, she sends Braddy home at 11 every Friday and Saturday night. "Can't sleep without you on Fridays and Saturdays," Braddy says to Colin the next Friday night Buffy marathon. Colin just snorts and turns down the volume of the small television in his room. Braddy lifts his head from Colin's pillow, where it has been pressed against Colin's neck quite comfortably. "Really, Colin?" he asks. "I tell you the most romantic thing I'll probably ever tell you in our lives, ever. And you snort at me. Really?" Colin just smiles because Braddy tells him sweet stuff like that all the time. He doubts Braddy would be able to stop even if he tried. His mouth was too closely connected to that mushy part of his brain, it seemed. "Sorry, Braddy, that's sweet," he says, rubbing the side of Bradley's face blindly. Colin's still looking at the television, after all. And Braddy thinks Colin is probably just indulging him like a whining pet. Braddy glares, but figures that's all he's going to get. So he takes it and buries his face inside of Colin's neck again. Braddy starts snoring. "What are you doing?" "Huh?" Bradley's mind's fuzzy. He cuddles closer to Colin's frame and closes his eyes again. "What are you doing falling asleep on me here?" Braddy snores again. "I'm not watching Buffy on my own here," Colin says. "And you have to go home again later." "But that's later. And right now, I want to sleep in my boyfriend's bed, okay?" Braddy mumbles. And really, who can say no to that? Well, except for Colin's mum, who says, "I'm coming in now!" so loudly before walking into his room that night that it wakes both of them up with a start. And Colin doesn't even remember falling asleep that night. After that, Braddy comes over not to watch Buffy or eat pancakes, but to have naps. He gets there early on Saturday, around 4 p.m, and just sleeps in Colin's bed with his arms wrapped around Colin, his face buried in the soft hairs at the back of his neck. Colin always tries not to fall asleep too, but Braddy makes it look so good and relaxing with those soft snoring noises he makes that Colin can't really help it. But every night Braddy gets that pouting face when Colin's mum drives him back home. "What if I kidnap you?" Braddy says one night. "Where to?" Colin asks, staring up at his ceiling. "Texas, Colin. I want to take you to my bed in Texas," Braddy says, voice completely neutral. "Huh?" Colin says, but he's smiling. After that, Braddy starts sneaking into his room. Every Saturday night, Colin's mum drives him home, and he just runs the 5 blocks back to Colin's room after she leaves. The first time he did it, he almost gave Colin a heart attack by banging on his bedroom window. "How lucky are you that my bedroom is on the ground floor?" Colin asks him between rushed kisses. "How lucky are you that your boyfriend is awesome?" Braddy grins at him. It only lasts a couple of weekends, though. That was to be expected. And Colin is quite happy that it's his dad who walks in on them this time. Once again, it's them on the couch and his parents standing over them. There's a whole lot more finger-waving and a whole lot less smiling this time, But at least Bradley doesn't use the word preparation. The thing with Bradley, though, is that once he's got something like this in his head, he won't let it go. Colin asks him to drop it once, but Bradley just gives him a face and asks him if he doesn't want to spend more time with Bradley. And honestly, what could Colin ever say to that? And so, Colin doesn't ask him to stop trying to find new ways to get into Colin's bed. He just smiles whenever Bradley knocks on his window and kisses Colin before he gets inside. The next one to catch them is Neil. And even if Colin hates the way Neil laughs at him for an entire week for the way Colin fell out of his bed in horror when he heard the door open, he does appreciate that Neil didn't run to their mother. But Colin hates lying, and he hates having to be quiet, so when Bradley's standing in front of his window again the next weekend, Colin tries to make him leave. "What are you talking about? Let me in!" "No, Bradley," Colin mumbled. "Let's just meet up tomorrow morning. We'll go ice skating." Bradley glares. "Ice skating?" Colin nods. "Don't even try to pretend you don't love that, because I heard you giggling laugh. Fine, we'll go ice skating tomorrow. Just let me in right now." "You don't understand. What if my mum walks in? Again?" Colin says. "She won't. She might. She won't." And Bradley huffs, completely frustrated by this point. He stares at Colin for a couple of more moments before simply saying, "Okay, fine," and turning around, leaving. "For God's sake," Colin mumbles to himself before climbing through his window and running after Bradley. Colin thinks Bradley is being completely unreasonable and infuriating, but he also knows he wouldn't ever not run after Bradley after seeing the way his smile disappeared and the way his eyes did that puppy dog thing that only works on Colin. Because Colin's an idiot for Bradley. Bradley doesn't kiss him back at first. "I'm sulking," he says into Colin's lips. But then his hands curl around Colin's hips, and he is kissing him back. After that, they tumble to the ground and end up rolling into his mother's rose bush. Or Bradley does, at least. And that kind of hurt. "It's not too bad out here, actually," Colin mumbles as they're lying on their backs, staring up at the stars. Colin looks at Bradley and sees that slightly insane look in his eyes before he tells Colin to get back inside, and he'll be right back. Bradley gets up and runs in the direction of his own house. Colin crawls in bed again, feeling cold and worn out. A couple of hours later, a knock on his window wakes him up again. "I didn't even know you had a tent," Colin says, yawning in his fist. "It's my dad's," Bradley says, "and I put it up all by myself." And he sounds so proud that Colin doesn't dare point out that it took him over 3 hours. "Aren't you tired?" "Not really," Bradley chirps. "I had to run home 3 times to make coffee, and then 2 more times to go to the bathroom." Colin pulls him inside the tent, and they fall asleep on the air mattress almost immediately. When Colin opens his eyes, he's honestly surprised to see that the tent's still standing. Not that he'd ever say that out loud and hurt Bradley's feelings. He's even more surprised to see his mother smiling down at them quietly, though. "Honestly, Colin," she just sighs. She makes them a warm breakfast and bakes Bradley blueberry muffins. Next weekend, she doesn't drive Bradley home in the evening. Colin is woken up by Bradley yelling, "Victory!" the next morning.